middle of declension and apostasy as we're living in today in the church of the Laodicean church age that Revelation 3 has predicted. Said, here's the wisdom of God. I'll send them prophets and apostles. Praise God. This is God's wisdom to overcome this apostasy and backsliding. Some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which were shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. And he tells about the blood of Zacharias. Verse 52, woe unto you lawyers, you preachers, that claim you interpret the word of God for the people. You've taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves. See, they won't go into the kingdom of God. And them that were entering in, you hindered them from going in the kingdom. Preachers today are keeping folks out of the kingdom of God. They won't let them go in. They've got the key of knowledge and they hold it. They've hid it. They've thrown it away. And they won't use it. Why? Because when you lead men in the kingdom, you don't preach for money, for honor, for popularity. You're preaching to get the approval and the respect of God, and your reward comes at the resurrection day. Not now. You don't get it now. You get contempt. Your popularity goes down about zero, then you're on a pretty good course with a reward from God. Praise the Lord. No reward here. All right, let's go a little bit further. In the 12th chapter of Luke, the very next chapter. Luke 12, beginning in verse 31. Luke 12, beginning in verse 31. Rather seek ye first, or seek ye the kingdom of God, Jesus is saying, and all these things shall be added unto you. But fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. All right, now, here's the principles of the kingdom for those who have entered into the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You can't have your heart in one place and your treasure in another. It's impossible. So the Lord said, if you want to be in the kingdom, you got to get your treasure and your heart together. Put it where your heart is. Put your treasure where your heart is. That's what most people do, really. But their heart's not in the right place. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. We're always to go around shining for Jesus. A light. Sometimes you attract people of any breed. But sometimes that attraction is not very nice because you attract contempt. You attract reproach. You attract persecution. You attract scorn. You attract a whole lot of things. Sometimes, though, you attract folks that you can bless, and that's the wonder of it all. And he says, you yourselves like men that wait for the Lord. When he shall return from the wedding, when he cometh and knocketh, you can open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants when the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Ones in the kingdom going to be the ones that's really watching. That don't mean y'all here looking up. Let me see something. Nope, not that. It means you're working. That's watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make him to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve him. And if he'll come in the second watch or in the third watch, that's in the middle of the night, during the tribulation it's talking about, blessed are those servants, praise God. If you can keep watching, keep faithful, when the pressure comes, you're really going to be blessed when your master returns. The kingdom belongs to those who are faithful. Going on to the 13th chapter briefly, Luke 13, beginning in verse 18. Jesus said, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? I want you to notice these two very brief and short parables. These very brief parables. It is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. You can see how slow how unassuming here the growth of the kingdom is. It's not with observation, as Jesus said. It doesn't take on the form of something great and fantastic, and it doesn't astonish anybody. It's like you put a seed in the ground and you just keep watching and you keep watching. And that mustard seed, it don't grow overnight like a mushroom. It takes many days and months and years, and it finally grows up and becomes a great tree. All right, again he said, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which if a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole were leavened. It works subtly. It works adroitly. It works almost unconscious of its growth and development into strength. It's like the stone that Daniel saw in Daniel the 2nd chapter, Nebuchadnezzar's dream. When God showed the prophet the interpretation of, he said, a great image. And that great image represented the 4 great world empires until the time of the Antichrist. And then he said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a stone cut out of a mountain without hands, rolled down from the mountain, smote the image on his feet, and that stone crushed that image and filled the whole earth. He said, that's the kingdom of the end time, King. When that mountain, that stone cut out of the mountain, is the kingdom of God that shall come and break down all the kingdoms. And that kingdom is an everlasting kingdom which shall rule and have dominion over the whole earth. Praise God. That stone, Jesus said, if that stone falls on you, it'll grind you to powder. But if you fall on the stone, you'll be broken. Praise God. We've got to fall on that stone and be bent to the will of the Lord. In the 16th chapter of the book of Luke, in a concluding scripture here concerning the kingdom of God, in verse 16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Every man presseth into it. The kingdom of God, since John was preached, Jesus preached it, the disciples preached it, John only came and announced it. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And all he did was introduce the messenger of the kingdom of God, John the Baptist. And since John, the kingdom of God is preached. And how do you get into that kingdom? That's what the revelation is. How do you get in the kingdom of God? Just because you're in the church, you're not in the kingdom of God. I'll tell you that. The church has got to be brought into the kingdom. If you get in the kingdom of God, you're going to press into it. You're going to press your way into it. You're going to strive to get in it. You're going to give up everything and sell everything and give everything and forfeit everything to get into the kingdom of God. And when you get in there, you're going to have righteousness continuously. You're going to have peace continuously and joy continuously and constantly in the Holy Ghost when you press your way into the kingdom. In conclusion now, the 20th chapter of the book of Matthew. To turn to it quickly, beginning in verse 25. Jesus called unto him his disciples and said, you know the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. This is one of the principles of the social order of the kingdom of God. If you get in it, you're going to have to behave yourself like the rules dictate. And if you get in the kingdom of God, you're going to be so far ahead of the church people till they're going to hate you. That's another problem you're going to have when you get in the kingdom. All right, it won't be so among you. Now, what is he answering here? The mother, James, and John had come to Jesus and asked him a favor. Says, I want you to let my 2 sons sit on your right hand and on your left hand when you come into your kingdom. Every mama wants that, I guess. I tell you, there's a price. Here's the first price, and I'll get back to verse 26. He looked at those 2 boys. First he told them, it's not mine to give you. The Father's going to choose the 2 that sits on my right hand. One on my right hand and my left. It's going to be whom the Father has prepared it for. Not me. I don't make that choice. Listen to verse 23. He sent unto them two disciples, James and John. Verse 22. He said, you don't know what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? That means that cup of suffering and death. And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said, we're able. He saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup. You're going to suffer. And you're going to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with.